Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, if you have a Bible, we're going to take time to turn to a few passages of Scripture this afternoon. The first in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we're going to read together at verse 32. Luke 23 and 32. And Luke gives to us an account of the crucifixion of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Down to verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now over into John's Gospel and chapter 19. John's Gospel and chapter 19. I'm just reading the one verse, verse 30. John 19 and verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now back, please, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. And commencing to read at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abram said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And our final reading in the final book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and reading in chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and reading together from verse 1. And John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful, or these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither work it whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that will suffice for the public reading of the Word of God. I want to centre my thoughts on three places this afternoon. I want to think firstly with you in John's Gospel, chapter 19, what John writes. And he says this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. I want to draw our attention to Calvary this evening and think of a place where it was a place of triumph. Men did their very worst to the Son of God. And men thought in their minds that they had triumphed at Calvary, but quite the opposite. God triumphed at Calvary. And we're going to see the language that our Lord uses from the cross when he could cry, it is finished, a place of triumph. What better place than to start our gospel message than at the place called Calvary? And then when we come to Luke chapter 16, we're going to be looking at two individuals, a rich man and a poor man. And we're going to see a poor man taken up by the angels, carried into the very presence of heaven, and a rich man who died and went to the opposite. He went to Hades, or hell. And we're going to think of a place of torment. But then when we come to Revelation chapter 21, and we read these words, there will be no more death, no more pain, etc., 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 we're going to think briefly about a place of tranquility. For if you look up the word tranquility, it simply means a place of calm and peace. And that is truly a picture of heaven when we think of the world in which you and I live today. And we think of the turmoil. And we think of the sin that abounds. And we think of a world that's hastening for disaster and judgment. How wonderful to know that the child of God is going to a place of peace and calm, a place of tranquility. So when we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, Luke brings before us a very graphic account of the crucifixion of Christ. He brings before us the picture of two malefactors, common criminals, sinners, those who had never for one moment thought of Christ and thought of God's salvation. And here they are at Calvary, and Christ in the midst. And two malefactors, two sinners, bound for eternity, the closing moments of life's journey, hanging upon a cross. One rejected the Saviour, one accepted the Saviour. One shot out the lip in scorn, if he be Christ, if he be Christ. And the other answering his common fellow criminal, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. They were there for their sins. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6, verse 23. And the malefactor, looking upon Christ, discerned and had spiritual discernment that the man upon the centre cross was none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his dying breath, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And with that, he gave up the ghost. Life had come to an abrupt end. Two men, equal opportunity to get right with God, to accept Christ as Saviour in their dying moments, in the 11th hour of their life, and eternity on the horizon. And one accepts and the other rejects. And with all that going on, there is in front of our blessed Saviour a vast multitude baying for the innocent blood of Christ. We will not have this man. Crucify, crucify. And they took my blessed Saviour and your Saviour, and they drove nails through his blessed hands and feet. And they put a crown of thorns. Not the thorns that you might find in the rose bush in your garden. But biblical historians will tell us that the thorns may well have been up to 3, 4, 5 inches in length. And they wove them through as a girl would plait her hair. And they took that crown of thorns and pressed it deep down upon the brow of my Saviour. And just picture it if you can. Picture Calvary if you can. A picture of the cross. And see a man dying there with nails through his hands and through his feet. And then they stooped to the lowest of the low, and it's still regarded that today. Spitting in the face of another is regarded as the lowest of the low. And they spat in the face of Christ. And the word of God says his face was marred. That just simply means it was unrecognizable, almost beaten to a pulp. You picture the scene? You say they did that to the Son of God. They did that to the Son of God. And God allowed it. God allowed it, for it was God's purpose. And those nail-scarred hands and feet are a picture of my Saviour dying at the place called Calvary. And in the midst of it, where man had done their very worst to the Son of God, listen to what he cries. He cries, "It is finished." He didn't cry, "I am finished." If he had cried, "I am finished," that would have been a note of weakness. There was no weakness in the person of Christ. He was in absolute full control of the situation. He cried, "It is finished." What had been finished? The work upon the cross at Calvary. My salvation is finished. It's secure in the person of Christ upon the cross at Calvary. A friend of mine some years ago was doing a bit of DIY work in Dunfermline in his home. And as he was knocking a nail into the wall, the hammer slipped and the nail went through the hand. And he went up to the hospital, up the road. And there was a little sheet that had to be filled in. Reason for admission. And he couldn't help but look as the nurse wrote, "Nail pierced hand." I got him in to the hospital. And the wound was sorted. But when he saw that, he thought to himself, that is a picture of Calvary, the nail-pierced hand. My admission to heaven is through the nail-pierced hands of the one who could cry at Calvary and cry in triumph, "It is finished." I remember my late grandfather. He was in assembly fellowship for close on 70 years. Knew his God intimately. But as he lay on his deathbed, with cancer having taken over the vast majority of his body, with a whimper, as the family were around the bed, he said this, "I am finished." And he was. The body in weakness, the body about to succumb to death, he was finished. But Christ never said, "I am finished." Christ said, "It is finished." And we come to the place of triumph this afternoon, where Christ triumphed at Calvary. And he triumphed over sin, death, hell, and the grave. But when we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, we're introduced to another two men. This time, a rich man and a beggar. Polar opposites in life. Now let's make two things absolutely clear here as we read down this chapter. The rich man didn't end up in hell because he was rich. The rich man ended up in hell because he rejected the Saviour. And the poor man didn't end up in heaven because he was poor. The poor man went to heaven because he accepted the Saviour. polar opposites. The rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, he wore the best of gear. I don't know what the designer labels of the day would have been then, but he wore them. And it wasn't McDonald's for him, it was the best of food. And he enjoyed it, and he fared sumptuously every day. And he was living for self. It was all self-indulgence. It was all about himself. No thought of Christ, no thought of God, no thought of God's salvation. And there was at his gate a beggar, one who was homeless, one who was to be pitied more, but he longed for just the crumbs which would fall from this rich man's table. This rich man evidently had no thought of God, for if he did, he would have shown love to his fellow brother. It says this, that it came to pass that the beggar died. And it says this, the rich man also died and was buried. What does that tell me? Simply this, that death is no respecter of persons. The rich will die, and the poor will die. The young will die, the old will die. Royalty, everyone will succumb to death at some point in their life's existence. If our Lord should tarry over the course of the next 50, 60, 70 years, I would judge almost everyone in this hall will have passed through the vehicle of death. Death is no respecter of persons. And with that in mind, we do well to observe what the scripture says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Lazarus, the beggar, transported by the angels into Abram's bosom, a picture of heaven, as far as the Jew was concerned. To be with Abraham would be inexplicable bliss. The rich man died, and he went into the very depths of Hades, into hell itself. The Bible tells us that Lazarus, the beggar, in heaven is comforted. The rich man died and was in hell, and he's in torments. And now the roles are reversed. The rich man, what he enjoyed on earth, he never enjoyed in the depths of Hades or hell. Lazarus, on the other hand, the man who just desired to be fed with the crumbs, is now comforted. He's in heaven. And the roles are reversed, never to be reversed again. A picture now, a scene of a place of torment. The man's in hell. I want you to notice with me several things about him. Number one, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus afar off. And so in a disembodied state, he could see. And he could feel. He felt the very flames, the torments of the flames. And he had a memory. For the word of God says this, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. And he was able to think back. This is very solemn. If you have a memory and you're in a lost eternity and you think back to opportunities when you had an opportunity to get right with God, when you sat, whether in the gospel hall here in Hospital Hill on many an occasion, or where you heard the message of the gospel somewhere else, and you turned a deaf ear to it. Perhaps another time. Perhaps like one in Holy Scripture who said, perhaps a more convenient season. Perhaps like many in the world tonight, and you say, later, just later. Let me live my life first. I'll get God at the end of life's journey. How many have said it? And for them it's too late. They're in a place of torment. What did he long for? A drop of water to cool his tongue. Water that we take for granted. We'll go home shortly. Into the kitchen or wherever the tap might be found. We turn the tap on and instantly we have water that refreshes the tongue, refreshes the soul, refreshes the body. He longed for a drop of water to cool his tongue. He's still waiting for that drop of water. Suddenly, in hell, he became very evangelistic. What does he say? I have five brethren back home. Speak to them. Tell them of a place of torment. Warn them of the danger of dying without Christ, lest they come to this place of torment. Time's almost gone. Briefly, think of the place of tranquility. A place that you and I, or rather, a place that those who believe, those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will inhabit. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I want to touch just briefly on verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The very cause of our tears is recorded. Death, it brings tears. And sorrow brings tears. And the crying brings tears. And pain brings tears. These are all things associated with this body and this life wherein we live at the moment. They are part and parcel of everyday life, are they not? John says, these are former things that are passed away. You won't find these things in heaven. Oh, the bliss of it. No more death. No more sorrow. No more partings. The former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, and we heard about the throne this morning from our brother Andrew, says, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Now, if you look up that word done, it's the same word as we have in John chapter 19 and verse 30. Finished. It is finished. It is done. And I'm going to this place of absolute bliss and absolute tranquility. Why? Simply this. And for this reason alone, I believe and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I'm no different from you. I have my ups and downs. I have the disappointments of life just as you do. But what sets me apart is simply this. I believe on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. And I've taken Christ to be my Saviour. Mine eyes will never see that place of torment, but rather a place of tranquility. The question is going to be posed tonight as we close. When you come to the end of life's journey, will you spend an eternity in a place of tranquility or in the place of torment? That's your choice. God has given to you the free will. God has given to you that choice to make. To accept or to reject. Two malefactors at Calvary. One accepted. One rejected. Don't be the person that rejects Christ tonight. But rather be that person that accepts. Behold, now is the accepted time. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.